We are in Acts chapter 20. As you recall from 2 weeks ago, obviously we had a wonderful, just a unique Sunday last Sunday with the Ewens being with us and Pastor Allen, the mission trip sharing last Sunday evening, and then the fellowship for the Kramers. That was just a delightful Sunday. So it's been a couple weeks since we've been in the book of Acts. The beginning part of chapter 20 is dealing with those little snapshots. Remember those pictures of ministry that we saw? Ministries of Paul and others as they served the Lord carefully and faithfully. Well, now we come to the last half of this chapter, and we have one of the most significant pastoral theological sections in the entire New Testament. Whereas we'd seen in the first part of the chapter, what was like, why was this travelogue here? And obviously it was there on purpose. God never doesn't do anything wastefully. So that was there on purpose. But now we come to a part where it's like, this is critical stuff. Remember, Paul is passionately trying to get down to Jerusalem in time for the Feast of Pentecost. Remember, that was the day when the Holy Spirit had been given to the church, all right, and all New Testament believers are being dwelt by the Spirit. And a characteristic of the giving God is that His children are givers too, and He wanted that offering. Remember that He and several others that were with Him were trying to get down to help and encourage the poor saints at Jerusalem. He wanted to get there on that day to be generous, to be a comfort on the Comforter Day. Can I put it that way? And so he comes here, but his heart is so in love with the ministry that he'd had at Ephesus and the men that had been left in leadership there, the pastors there. But he knows, it's just like, there's a reason why Abby and I are usually always the last ones out the door, because we talk a lot, all right? But we love talking with you. And he knows, like Paul, and he knows if he goes up to Ephesus, he's going to get stuck. And he won't be able to get down in time for Jerusalem. So instead, he parks at Miletus, which is south of Ephesus, about 30 miles or so. And he sends a message up to the pastors of the church there and says, guys, come down here. I do want to see you one last time, but I can't go there. I'm going to get delayed too much. So would you join me here? And I have some things to encourage you with. And boy, does he ever. I'm sure he said more than what we have recorded here in the last half of the book here. But Luke, in his wisdom and under inspiration of the Lord, writes down kind of the synopsis, the overview, very well defined. And we're going to take the time, I'm going to do something a little different than I normally do on Sundays. We're going to do this message in essentially this section in two parts. I'm going to do the one section this morning, and then we're going to come back to it tomorrow, tonight. So you say, well, I wasn't planning to be here tonight. Well, you're going to miss the last half, all right? So come on back, change your plans, come on back, be with us tonight, and hear the other part of the story, all right? Because they go together. And I'm actually going to preach basically the last half of the chapter, and then, or the last half of the last quarter. All right, and then we'll come back and preach the middle quarter this evening. Paul starts here in verse number 17, relates a little bit about his ministry among the church at Ephesus, and then he gives some challenging instructions to the pastors there. So we'll read the entire passage probably both this morning and this evening just to be a wonderful reminder for us. Verse 17 is where I'm at. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now here we come really to the transition, and it's interspersed, but obviously he has just shared some of his own personal testimony, specifically his ministry with the church there in Ephesus. Isn't that a sweet testimony? We're going to look at that tonight. I trust that one day I could maybe say this before I head to the Lord. I've served like Paul did. I trust that that could be your testimony as well. But now he comes in verse 28 specifically to instructions for the pastors. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. To remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, fell on Paul's neck, kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. This dear and wonderful picture of Paul, really in a pastoral role to the pastors, is a precious picture, and yet comes with amazing warning and challenge. I want to preach to the pastor today, so would you just listen in? You say, Pastor, why would you preach to yourself? Well, because it's here in God's Word, and it's important for me to hear in particular. But let me also say that it's very, very important for each of you to know this. The reality is Paul taught these elders, these pastors at the church, he was also instructing the church family. One day, I won't be here anymore. It's the reality of life. Now, it would be a joy that the Lord would come back today. Don't you think so? Let's just all go home with the Lord. That would be wonderful. But we need to, because God's Word has instructed us to be prepared and planning for. Now, by the way, I'm not resigning, okay? Just so you know. All right? I mentioned to the class this morning, be praying for the pastor that the church is voting on him for to become the director of the missions of the AIBCI, all right? To become the state missions director. It's not me, all right? You're not voting on me today, okay? So don't worry about that. Put that aside. I will, to be honest and open-hearted with you, I see the Lord having me here for years. I wouldn't be surprised that I retire from here. Although it wouldn't surprise me either that the Lord takes His servant someplace else someday too. You can't be surprised about that. We're all God's servants, are we not? My plans and goals are to be here. I think God has purpose for me here. There's much ministry to be accomplished. All those things. But just like you, I'm God's servant and I'll go where He wants me to go. So put those thoughts aside. But the reality is that one day you'll need to be picking another pastor if the Lord tarries and I die. Or the Lord calls me someplace else. And you'd better do it well. I appreciate all of the work that went in when you called me. It was wonderful to sit kind of on the sidelines and watch and observe this church family function so well together. Think it through. Be careful and cautious to choose God's will for them. May that happen again one day, but you'd better be careful to follow God's Word. Pastors have specific roles and responsibilities in a church ministry, uniquely designed by God. I need to be faithful to it. Would you pray that your pastor would be faithful to it? Pastors. Let me not disinclude, all right, Pastor Allen and Pastor Rod. They're serving us faithfully as well. And so Paul instructs the Ephesian elders on how to minister rightly to their church family. So let's look at it today and learn some things. Number one, What's the pastor's focus? Can I put it that way? What's his focus? What's he to look at or pay attention to? What are the things that should take up his heart? Well, I have 2 points here, really. He's to take heed to himself. Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself or preserve thyself and them that hear thee. As we look at verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Does this mean I'm supposed to be self-centered? No. I need to pay attention to God's word. I need to pay attention to what God's word teaches and tells me to do. You see, God's attention is the preservation of a vibrant church family that's growing in the Lord, doing God's will. We can't help but see that throughout, especially the pastoral epistles in 1 and 2 Timothy. This church is Christ's body in Roscoe, Illinois. Isn't that something? And the person that has been called to be the under-shepherd, the persons that have been called to attend to the sheep here, must pay attention to themselves, that they take care of following the Lord, staying faithful to truth, staying passionate about ministry. Take heed to yourselves. Give attention. God has required of me to analyze my ministry among you often. Am I walking with the Lord rightly, setting the example that I'm supposed to do? Am I faithfully and diligently helping people do the work that God has called them to do at Heritage Baptist Church? We'll see that more in a minute. If I fail in my ministry, I fail Jesus Christ, and I fail this church family. By the way, this is not a part of this passage necessarily, but let me add, there could come a point in time where I would walk away from the Lord. You would do a service to Jesus Christ and to your pastor to ask me to step down. I understand that. That's an important role. That's an important understanding of New Testament Scripture. You see, I'm made of the same stuff as you. I have a sinful heart like yours. Praise God, it's been redeemed. Praise God, I have the Spirit of God living in me to convict my heart. But I could fail. Therefore, Paul told the elders, pay attention to yourself. Take heed. Take great thought and great effort to walk with the Lord. In the busyness of ministry, often there comes a point at which, as a pastor, you sometimes can easily begin to overlook your own personal walk with the Lord. Shrink the time a little bit. Not pray as diligently as I should. As you're going through your daily devotional reading, to just kind of run through it, because, hey, there's hospital call I need to make, and there's a sermon I need to prepare. There's this project going around the church, so I need to just help make sure everything's going okay. And all of a sudden, daily devotions is starting to flee. Would you pray that your pastor would always stay tender in his walk with the Lord? Believer, if I begin to shrivel spiritually, it's going to affect how you grow in the Lord too. My messages won't become in depth. There won't be meat there for you to chew on and grow on. I must stay faithful to the Lord. Take heed to yourselves. So the pastor's focus needs to rightly be on walking with the Lord. I trust that one day my testimony would be something similar to Noah's or to Enoch's. And he walked with the Lord. I trust that you'll be able to see that character quality in my life. Let me encourage you, though. That challenge really is not just for me, is it? Take heed to yourselves, believers. If I'm walking with the Lord, setting the example, then follow, please. Stay faithful to the Lord. How is your time with God today? the routine on Sunday mornings has changed our house. Now that Darcy's gone, I can have a hot shower anytime I want. You can tell Darcy I said that too, okay? So it's allowed me to change up my routine a little bit, and it's actually been a blessing. My focus and attention has been refreshed, and I can spend really almost extra time with the Lord, and that's been healthy. I've come with my battery, spiritual battery, charged and ready to go for the Lord's day, and that's needed. What a blessing. Believer, how about you? Do you spend some time with the Lord today? It was, well, I'm here, Pastor. I know, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. It's the right thing. You've done right. You've done well. But you also need to walk with the Lord yourself individually. Grow in the Lord. Know His Word well. Study it. What did the Lord teach you today already before you came to church? Oh, I didn't have time. Well, maybe you should take time. Be willing to discipline your life. Well, I do my devotion tonight. Okay, great. Wonderful. Do you remember? Did you remind yourself this morning what you learned last night? Those are helpful things. That's how you grow in the Lord. Take heed to yourself as well. Secondly, the pastor's focus is not only take heed to himself, but take heed to his flock. I need to heed my calling. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you. That's interesting. He has placed and set the pastor over the church. It's been the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of what Paul and Barnabas, it was Saul and Barnabas at that time in Acts chapter 13, did. As they were called by the Holy Spirit and the church recognized it and said, yes, go forth. They prayed over and they fasted and then sent them out to the work. The church really recognized only what the Spirit of God was doing. In many ways, we've done this with Pastor Allen to a great degree. We have seen as a church family God's call on his life, and we are doing everything we can in a right sense to thrust him forth to the work that God has called him to do. We've seen God's Holy Spirit. Now we're going to do an official approval process when he gets ordained. And what is that? That's us saying amen to what God is already doing in Pastor Allen's heart. That we see this man qualified for the work of the ministry, doctrinally sound, God called to the work. We'll do that in February, Lord willing, the very beginning of February. It really is in a way that God has called me to lead you. You say, well, I didn't have a choice about it. Well, you approved God's will. That was your choice in the matter. Say amen to what God was doing. So the Holy Ghost has placed me, set me as an elder, verse 17. He said to the elders, that's a term of rank, and we've talked about this recently in Sunday school and so forth, some of you that have been in my class. Term of rank and office. I am grateful for that. If I can just joke for a minute, obviously you can see that God has not made me a large man. I'm not a man's man. I'm a little bit of a wimpish guy, all right? Small in stature, small in size. And there's a natural tendency in every human being. You know, when my son-in-law walks in here, we all respect him. Luis. All right? Why? Well, because if you don't, he'll beat you up. All right? No, he won't. But that's innate. All right? All right? God hasn't done that for me. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not upset by that. That's all right. You know, I can do a few things those big guys can't. Anyways. But the reality is you have demonstrated a wonderful degree of respect and honor to your pastor. Not because I look like it, but because you've seen God's call, and I appreciate that. And so I must carefully fulfill the responsibilities that God has placed me in. I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, he said, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul chiding Timothy, Timothy, don't be timid in your calling. Stir it up. Be faithful in growing it. Why, by the way, do I continue my education, though it is a painful process for me? Because I'm trying to stir up the gift of God in me. Trying to grow in my walk with the Lord so that there's courage and boldness, that I may without fear declare the gospel, declare truth to you. Even though sometimes you may not want to hear it. To do it rightly in love and so forth. But with courage and boldness to be your elder. Your ranking officer. But as well as he says here in verse 28, take heed unto yourselves to all the flock over the which the Lord Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. See, not only should I take heed to the calling of being the elder, the pastor, but I need to take heed to the specific work that God has called me to do. An overseer is a man charged with the duty of seeing that the things to be done by others are done rightly. He's an administrator. My job is to help you do your job, to do it well. You say, I have a job? Absolutely. Every one of you, a member of our church family, has roles and responsibilities here. You say, well, I don't do anything. Wait a second, come talk to me and I'll show you some things that you probably already do that you don't realize are in ministry, like praying for the church family, like coming here and fellowshipping with one another, helping each other grow in Christ, encouraging each other on their way, listening attentively and well to the preaching of God's Word, even when my message sometimes isn't the most exciting. You are good listeners. Thank you. You encourage your pastor in his work. And my role and responsibility is to help organize, keep it going, not to do all the work. I can't. No way. In fact, that would be wrong of me to try to do all the work here. My role is to help you serve the Lord faithfully and well. Some of you have wonderful creative ideas how ministry can be accomplished. They're well within the parameters of Scripture. Well, come and tell me about them. Maybe I should, but I won't. I've had, in the last couple years, a couple of ladies sit down with me. They're kind of musically inclined. There's your hint. And they said, "Here, Pastor, here's some ideas we've been thinking about." That is wonderfully helpful. It's areas that they're involved in and serving, but they want the right, they're seeking the right administration process and so forth. But that is so helpful to get the work of the ministry accomplished. Things have improved around here because of some of their ideas. Praise God. I just have to help direct, make sure it stays within the parameters of Scripture, and come on, let's go get them. Let's go serve the Lord together. Be faithful. Do your role. Figure out what you can do here. Pastor's called to be the elder, to be the overseer, to do his work. He's also called to obey the owner. Again, take heed to yourselves, verse 28, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed, what's the next words? To feed the church of God. Aren't you glad that it didn't say to feed your church elders? I'm glad. We don't need more David Andersons around here. You can laugh about that. I do. You don't need someone like me around here. We need you. We need to be more like Christ around here. This is God's church. None of us own it. None of us. We're a part of it. We're just the sheep of the flock. God has called me to lead the sheep. I'm just the under-shepherd. The assistant. I like that. I was assistant pastor for all those, you know, 2 decades. I think I learned a thing or two there and understood to know, wait a second, hey, it's great that the buck doesn't stop with me. Hand it on to the pastor, right? We hand it on to the Lord and let Him direct our steps. This is God's church. The church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Wow. Now, wait a second. Who died for us? Jesus Christ. Here's another amazing affirmation, by the way, of the deity of Christ here. Feed the church of God, elders, which He hath purchased with His own blood. It didn't say the church of Christ at this moment, it said the church of God. You see, I bow and hover in humble reverence to the One who died for me. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it was not simply a fire escape from hell. If that's all it was, can I be so bold to say, then I'm not sure I got saved. You see, when I understand that Jesus died for my sin, paid the price for my sin, that only God could do that. Only God's sacrifice can be infinite and eternal and pay for the price for all of our sin. What is implicit in understanding that God paid the price for my sin? That when I accept that price, I become His child. It's not my life. It's His. I owe Him everything. He is Lord. Does that make sense? So I submit to Him at the moment. Now you said, well, I didn't understand all that when I got saved. I understand that. Most of us didn't. I was 6 years old when I got saved. But I knew that I was a sinner, that I had offended a righteous God, that because of that I could not in any way go to heaven myself. So I asked Jesus, my only hope, to forgive me of my sin and to be my Savior. And there was that mark of humble trust to a great, all-powerful God. Oh, I've grown, Lord willing, in my understanding of Scripture and what I did at that point of salvation. And I'm growing today, letting the Lord be the Lord of my life as best I know how in every way. And I'll know that a year from now, Lord willing, know a little bit more how to do that. But that is the heartbeat of every believer. You can't read 1 John without realizing that every Christian has a heart, he's not always faithful to it, but has a heart to obey Christ's commands. Because he's become the Lord of that person's life. So I'm essentially preaching against what we might call in the theological world easy believism. Here, pray this prayer and you're saved. No, wait a second. That needs to come from a heart of repentance from sin and absolute faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's pictured right here. Now, I have been called by God to feed you, dear saints, who know the Lord and are walking with Him, are striving to submit to Him, and live your life out rightly before the Lord. You see, I need to get you the good grain, the good meat, so that you can faithfully be growing in the Lord, letting Him be more the master of your life. What I do on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, especially in the preaching ministry, is critical for your spiritual growth. I better be faithful to it. Better not take it half-heartedly. Give it just a little bit of time and let me go on to other things that are more fun. Believer, would you pray that your pastor would be faithful to feed the flock? Not only do we see the pastor's focus, but we also see the pastor's purpose here. As we hasten on through the passage, verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." Pastors at Ephesus, Paul says, watch! And let me remind you, he says, verse 31, "how I watched over you and over the church. I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." You see, God has called the pastor in particular to protect the flock from the wolves and the charlatans. Those that were even within. He's called to watch, verse 31, to be vigilant, to caution, and to be cautious. And the word has the idea of great intensity. I think this adds a little bit of value to why at times in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, or even in counseling, I speak up a little bit. I boldly declare the truth. Believer, with all that I know how, and I don't do it as faithfully as the Lord Jesus Christ ever will, I know that. But with all that I know how, I love you. And with God's calling on my life, I desire that you walk with the Lord faithfully, not walk away from God's Word. Therefore, I warn you, don't get mad at the preacher that's pounding the pulpit trying to keep you from sin or to keep you from other sinners that are detracting you and trying to deceive you. It's critical for your own spiritual sake before the Lord one day when you stand that I warn you against sin. So he tells the pastors there in particular, protect against the wolves. Those are outsiders. They're not a part of the church family. A wolf is generally opportunistic, and it seems as though that's what he's referring to. They go for the weak individuals, spiritually weak. Those that, by their own choice, or just by the lack of maturity, that they haven't grown in the Lord much, are spiritually weak and easily gullible. And they come in and deceive. Now, as I try to take this truth and apply it to this day and age, today, here, where do we find these wolves? I mean, did any of them walk in this morning? I won't point out anybody here, okay? No, I don't think so, okay? But can I be so bold as to say, did any of you listen to him this morning on the TV? Or on the internet? People that sound suave and good. Wolves in sheep clothing. Oh, they sound all spiritual. They may even have a Bible in front of them. But they're spewing heresy. They're twisting Scripture. Oh, believer, be careful. Be careful. On regular TV, there are hardly any pastors there that I could recommend to you. Oh, some that open God's Word fairly well, but their ministries aren't right with the Word of God. Be careful. Their life is tainted. Be careful. Obviously, we have plenty of cults, movements like that that take. You know, you hear the joke that the Mormons are populated with former Baptists. And there's a lot of truth to that, by the way. I don't know how populated, but people that have started with God and then not like the truth of God's Word, and they're offered a wonderful candy of trying to work for the Lord, and this wonderful seemingly fellowship where they get together and they're all helping each other. Those are wolves. Churches out there that preach health and wealth. We are all dying. That's a fact of life. One day you're going to be dead unless the Lord returns. You better start preparing for that. Now that, you know, that's not an encouraging message, but you better be prepared. And God has not promised any of His children great wealth in this life. In fact, as I read the New Testament, I find that many of the believers were quite poor because they stood for the Lord and they lost lots. People wouldn't buy their goods, wouldn't give them a job. Our health and our wealth come in heaven, believer. Our wealth is found in Jesus Christ. Don't buy into that doctrine. Oh, there's much more I could say. But guard your heart against the wolves. By the way, we talk about wolves a lot on Wednesday nights. I warn you, we have a time usually before prayer time where I'll take some time and talk about things that are going on in our culture and times. Those are times when we talk about wolves. Come and learn a little bit about them so you can figure them out and not follow them, all right? That's good. But then we have hucksters, verse number 30. These are insiders, those aspiring to be leaders, pastors within the church. Unfortunately, I've run across these too. People that are part of the church family trying to do somebody else's job, the pastor's job. Or maybe a deacon's job, tuning their own horns, trying to get a following, and it brings destruction to the church. Also of your own selves, he says in verse 30, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them? They distort the truth. They oppose or even plot against the saving purposes and plans of God. I'll never forget about hearing in a ministry that I was involved in, this was sometime after the fact, of a Saturday night prayer group that was praying that the pastor would get his heart right with the Lord. That would be people that are distorting the truth, not following God's plan and purposes for the church. The pastor, by the way, I know as a personal friend, and he was walking with the Lord. There was problems there. Division being sown. Oh, believer, may we here at Heritage Baptist Church never have a huckster amongst us. We all have a heart of pride. It's very important that we stay humble to our Lord. That's why the personal devotions can be really helpful. That's why our normal gathering together and hearing God's Word can be really helpful, because that humbles us, helps us to know our place, know where we belong, and know how best to serve the Lord. There can be only one senior pastor. That's the way God's designed it. There can often be a couple of assistant pastors. That's the way God designed it. There can be just a few deacons. That's what we need. That's all we need. There can be only so many Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, bus ministry workers. And yet, it's amazing to see how God designs a church. There's always a job for everyone to do. God, you say, well, I've just been a part of this church for several years. I don't have much to do. Well, come talk to me. I'd be happy to help you start directing your steps. Because there's work, lots of work to be done around here. And we need, and obviously, you know, I've been unashamed to walk and approach up to some of you and say, hey, I think you can fit in this ministry. Would you be willing? That's the way it's supposed to be done. You see, the church can't function if we all try to be, you know, there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians. That's an Americanism, all right? We're all called to be something special here. A specific role to take on. Serve the Lord faithfully. Don't do somebody else's job. Hey, let's take it away from the pastor church family relationship. Let's just go among church family. There are some of you that just really aren't probably good Sunday school teachers. That's a gift, isn't it? Some of you know, you sit under our teachers here, and God has gifted these folks to give God's word out faithfully and well. Well, so should you get all mad and upset? I want to be a Sunday school teacher because they seem to be the cool people around here. No. What has God gifted you to do? Serve in that way. I am grateful for people that serve in quiet capacities around here, capacities that aren't up front. Does it ever dawn on you that this place looks nice because somebody or somebodies are working hard around here? No. Is ministry about facilities and grounds? Well, no, in a sense, we need to make disciples, but that we need to meet here. We live in an area where I'm glad that we've got air conditioning today, aren't you? And I'm glad you're not sitting on somebody else's supper on the pew, aren't you? Yeah. And I'm glad that the grass isn't so tall that we've got critters running all over the place, mice all over the building, all that kind of stuff. I'm glad for that. And by the way, in our culture and setting and time, it's appropriate for us to have a decent-looking place. People will come here because of that. That's a part of the process. It's not the only process, but a really important process. You know, I don't have too many mice back at the parsonage or snakes in the house because somebody mows the lawn. And I'm grateful for that. And then every once in a while, a brave coyote comes out and Drew and I try to give him a what for with our guns. Anyways, all right. But what joy to have this facility well cared for. That's the people behind the scenes that are doing their gift. Oh, may God help us to not be jealous of other people's ministries, but to do the ministry God has given us to do. We're coming to a time where Pastor Allen is going to be leaving us. Let's not cry right now, okay? It's going to be a sad day. We're going to miss them, aren't we? They bring a unique personality and character to our church ministry that we'll never be able to totally replace. God knows that. But we'll need to fill in the gaps. Pray that God will help us find just the right people here and maybe outside to come in and fill in the gaps as God provides. That's important. That's critical. So that all those gaps will be filled rightly. God knows. What would happen? What would happen if all of our pianists leave town? That would change some things around here, wouldn't it? I was in a ministry when we had 5 pianists and then came down to 1. The ministry was about 3 times our size. Guess what? We still got through ministry, but it was a whole different way than before. You see, God in His goodwill provides and sustains us. Do your part. Okay, I must wrap it up. But God has called the pastor. His purpose is to protect the flock. His purpose is to prosper the flock. And Paul does this in an amazing way in verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Telling those pastors, you must lean on the Lord. You must dig into His word. Know it well. Of course, at the time of the giving of this, the New Testament wasn't even completed in its writing. Galatians was probably written. James was probably written. Maybe that's about it. Maybe Matthew. Probably not, though. All right. So he's obviously referencing the Old Testament in particular, But for us today, as we make application, pastors in particular, cherish God's Word. Love God. Let God direct your steps. And he goes on to explain about the Word. I commend you to the Word, which is able to build you up, to exhort you, to uphold you, to strengthen you, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Oh, what joy! You see, as the pastor carefully and diligently submits himself to God, to His Word, guess what happens as he gives it out and lets it build up in his own life? He joins a great company, the company of all those who have an inheritance with Jesus Christ. God has called, just like Paul was building up the elders here, God has called the pastor to build up the church, to finish the structure work that was begun on a foundation. This church, Heritage Baptist Church, founded in 1978. Pastor Jones, the first one that started helping with all laying all of that groundwork. Several pastors have come and gone. They have all been a part of building the structure that we see. Not this building, but you. This church family. Some of our church family are with the Lord. Some God has pushed on to other places. We've lost some. And yet we find here a church that's flourishing, that's growing. Let us continue in my role, but also in your role, to build up one another, to continue to build this structure, this church body, growing in the knowledge of Christ, growing in its outworkings of ministry and service to one another. It's done through God's Word being taught, preached, declared, day to day, moment by moment, service after service. May we be found faithful, in verse 32, to God's Word. May we help each other share in that inheritance one day. As we contemplate the entirety of the New Testament, we wonder as we walk through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the laying of the foundation and then the rewards that are talked about, gold, silver, precious stone, or the loss of reward, it becomes rather clear that the work that you and I do here at Heritage Baptist Church, because that's where we're at right now, actually has direct bearing upon the reward that we'll receive in glory one day from our Savior and Lord, from our head, Jesus Christ. Jesus is here today, do you know that? He's taking account of how you're serving Him, what you're doing, how you're worshiping Him, how you're listening. Remember how I prayed this morning, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's talking about how we interact with God's Word. I need to be quick to hear it, slow to speak against it, slow to being angry when the Word of God convicts me of sin. And so I will one day, and you will one day, stand before the Lord and give an account of how you've served the Lord here. How you've grown in the Lord here. How you've taken the gems of God's Word as I've declared it, as the teachers have given it, and use them in your life to become more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. If you were to stand before the Lord today, how would the accounting go? If you could be honest with yourself, how would the accounting go? Is your inheritance a wonderful inheritance? Will there be great reward? Have you been being built up in the faith? Letting the Word of God have its full effect in your heart and life? Or do you live in resistance to it? I'll listen to this part, but not to that part. That doesn't sound good for an inheritance among the saints. Oh, I'm not talking about loss of salvation, but I'm talking about reward and joy and blessing. You know, Dory really loves dessert. She's a girl after my own heart. I mean, she puts it away and on the other, but boy, her eyes light up, it's dessert time. And for all the fun that we have around here, I will tell you that, you know, a pie or a cake or whatever is wonderful, but I trust that my walk with the Lord is such that that's not a great reward anymore. I'm an adult. There's more to life the love of my children, the love of my wife, family walking with the Lord, those are wonderful rewards. Far better than any dessert. I trust that when you get before the Lord one day, you won't be satisfied with just a little bit of dessert. That your relationship with the Lord has become so mature, grown so strong, that you will have cherished relationship with your dear Savior and Lord for eternity. Knowing the Word of God and thinking it through well, living it out in your life, being right and biblical in every action. So of course, you'll do that in eternity, but you'll be far ahead. Don't show up before the throne of God as a kindergartner. Oh, you'll graduate. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. Why don't you show up with the robes of a doctor on, spiritually speaking? Because you've loved God's Word, studied it well, lived it out in your life, cherished it, understood it. That will be some great reward, won't it? So God has called me to help prosper you, to build you up, to help you have that inheritance too among the saints, among the sanctified. Believer, pray for your pastor. But let's as well take heed to some of the admonitions that we've heard today. Walk with the Lord. Be ready for your inheritance. Let's pray. Father, for the invitation, then I must acknowledge that you've talked to me. You've spoken to me from your word today, challenged my heart. As I evaluate my ministry here, there's areas clearly of growth. Help me to be a better communicator of God's Word. Help me to understand it more thoroughly and carefully so that these folks can grow in Christ. Lord, would you help me? Give me eyes to see. You know who I am, Father. I love for things to just be fine. I love to face life with a smile. And yet there are times where you've called me to warn, to watch out, to protect. And the spiritual battle is a battle that's far different than just some kind of physical protection. We're fighting against the wiles of the devil. And you've asked me to stand in the gap to protect and help these people to avoid sin, to avoid sinners. Give me strength to do that well. Insight and wisdom to see when those wolves are there, when the hucksters are around, and to rightly handle them. Lord, may you keep our hearts unified here that Satan wouldn't get a hand in. But then, Lord, help each of us as we strive to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would prosper us on our way. May I be faithful in helping our church family to know God's Word so that they can be prepared and ready for the day that they stand before you. That spiritually speaking, they wouldn't stand before the Lord as spiritual kindergartners, knowing some of the basics, but that's it. But because of them being a part of Heritage Baptist Church, not just my preaching, but the preaching of others and the teaching of others as well, that they would stand before you, spiritually speaking, in a picture and analogy, as spiritual doctors, knowing the Word of God faithfully, fully, living it out rightly, not missing parts, living the whole counsel of the Word of God. So, Lord, help us all to be people of the book, so that our inheritance one day will be joyful and full, complete, rich, of great wealth. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, I want to challenge your heart with a challenge that I tried to end the message with. If you were to stand before the Lord today, what would your inheritance be like? Would there be reward? Would it be full and rich and deep? Would heaven be absolutely glorious to you. Not just simple and joyful, but glorious. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I see some needed areas in my life where I have resisted God's word in some specific area. I've kind of overlooked it, tried to shove it under the rug in my life. And I want to grow in Christ. I want to be able to one day stand before the Lord, hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Understanding to the fullest the riches of heaven and the joys of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be just a kindergarten spiritually. I want to be a doctor spiritually. And so there's some areas where I see I need to grow. Could I pray for you right now? You'd raise your hand and say, Pastor, God's working in my heart, and His Word has convicted me about some areas. Would you pray with me that God would help me grow in those areas? Anyone at all? Yes, amen. Several hands today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what they are individually. God's Spirit can take God's Word and use them in just a great way in our lives. Grow, grow. Keep faithful. Yes, amen. Anybody else? Are you here today without Jesus Christ? I have not declared salvation in its fullest, in the sense of full gospel presentation, but I have talked about the joy of knowing Jesus Christ and turning from sin to our Savior, letting Him be the Lord and Master of your life. Maybe today you'd say, I need Jesus Christ. I know that I can't get to heaven on my own terms, on my own way, and I fling myself on Jesus alone, the eternal work of a great God who died for me. Can I pray for you right now? Say, Pastor, that's my need today. I need to be saved today. Can I pray for you? Anyone at all? Quietly slip their hand there and say, that's my need today. Father, thank you again for your word and help us to grow in Christ today. Help me to be the pastor you've called me to be. And help us all to be prepared and ready for the day that we stand before you. If there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.